I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, not to be a conspiracy theorist, but a bill in Olympia really has you wondering what the motivation is for Democrats. Plus, a proposal puts trans people and illegal immigrants in a protected class in Washington. And you probably saw it, a couple Super Bowl commercials talking about Washington State's budget woes, who was behind the commercials, and clearing up some confusion about them being taxpayer funded. That and more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month. Wow, what a screaming deal. UndividedPod.com, UndividedPod.com, and just click on Support the Show. Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. I'm Brandi Cruz. Look, you know, if there's one thing I hate being a conspiracy theorist. I don't want to. I don't want to be this way. I don't want to assume the worst of intentions of our elected leaders, but at this point, I just have to. I mean, we've got Democrats in Olympia who are willing to get on the national news and say disgusting stuff like this.
If they're old enough to get pregnant, they're old enough to make their own decisions about what happens with their bodies, okay? And parents do not have the right to change that.
Yeah, so we've got Democrats who are systematically trying to cut parents out of their kids' lives, who are indoctrinating kids at school with their radical political gender sexual agenda, just bizarre stuff. They are trying to and have passed laws that make it easier for kids to run away from home if their parents won't let them get a sex change surgery or gender hormone therapy, and the state will hide them away and not tell parents where they are. And it's all just, I mean, you look at it and there's a clear pattern of behavior here. And look, I haven't gone so far as to say, I know there's people on the internet who are like, well, that is like predatory behavior. That's just predatory behavior to try to rip kids as young as 13 away from their parents and help them make all these decisions. The government's helping them make all their decisions about their body and all of these things and bodily autonomy. And oh my gosh, you can do this. Without. And then they drop a bill like this. And again, it just turns me straight up into a conspiracy theorist. Senate Bill 5312. I know I already chose my worst bill of the legislative session. God, I might have to change it. Senate Bill 5312, brace yourself, would lower punishments for child sex predators. No, I'm not making that up. That's a real bill. Go look it up. Senate Bill, ledge.wa.gov. Type in 5312. Look it up for yourself. So Senate Bill 5312, I kid you not, you think about what's going through the minds of a lawmaker who, during this time of all these crises in our state, they're like, hey, you know what we should do? We should push a bill that lowers supervision, lowers the amount of time somebody has to spend on the sex offender registry when all they did is solicit sex with someone who they thought to be a child and it turned out to be an undercover cop. I mean, because it wasn't even a real child. It was an undercover cop. So who cares if they thought they were talking to a real child? Oh, no, that's not that big of a deal. So let's lower punishments for them. I swear to God that is an actual bill the Democrats are pushing. Here's some of the text. Individuals who commissioned a predatory offense involving a minor victim could pose a different public safety threat upon release than individuals involved in a sting operation with a fictitious minor. Again, Senate Bill 5312. So this wants to treat those two sets of predators differently. So if you're a sex predator, child, try to put yourself in that mindset. I know it's hard for the vast majority of us. Apparently, Democrats in Olympia, that's what they're doing. They're putting themselves in the mind of a sex predator and how they think and what they think the punishment should be. So if you're a sex predator and you're going to go online and you're going to try to find a child to groom and to meet for sex, okay? So in the eyes of Democrats, if it doesn't turn out to be a real child that you were having these disgusting conversations with, grooming, trying to arrange a meeting for sex, if it turns out to be a detective with the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force who was posing as a 12, 13-year-old child who you, for all intents and purposes, believed was a 12-year-old who you were going to meet up and rape. Democrats in Olympia believe that you should be treated differently if it turns out to not have been a real kid. Why? Genuinely, what's driving this behavior from Democrats in Olympia? This is where the conspiracy, if I tie it all together, it's like, okay, all these things you're doing, separating kids from parents, trying to give kids complete autonomy over their lives at the age of 13, sending them to public schools where you politically and socially indoctrinate them, and then easing punishments for adults who get on the internet and engage in predatory behavior looking for children to rape. And God forbid for them, it turns out to be one of these dedicated men and women of law enforcement with the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force or one of these net nanny stings where they're, thank God, standing in the breach so that person isn't meeting a real child for I can't call it sex, for rape. Or thank God they're meeting a detective who caught them in this behavior before they victimized another child. And it is the priority of Democrats in Olympia to do two things with Senate Bill 5312. It would reduce the length of time that that person would have to spend on the sex offender registry. And it would reduce conditions and the length of time for community supervision after they're released from prison. Am I having a mental health breakdown? Am I in an alternate universe? And I just have to say, taken as a whole, when we look at some of the public safety bills passed through the Public Safety Committee in Olympia by Democrats, and these are along party lines. No Republicans are supporting this stuff. These are Democrat-backed bills. Just a few of them. House Bill 1125 lets judges end lengthy prison sentences early in the interest of justice. You could kill someone and a judge one day could say, you've done enough time, come on out. HB 1178, lower sentences for gang members who recruit juvenile gang members to commit crimes. Lower sentences for gun offenders. Lower sentences for adults who cook meth around kids. Lower punishments for online child predators. Look at those collectively. And ask yourself, go ahead, I'll grab my, put your conspiracy, your tinfoil hat on. What would the motivation be of a party pushing all of those bills collectively? Pushing bills to take it easy on the worst of the worst offenders in society. Things that used to be hands off, let's throw the book at them. Gun crimes. Gang members who recruit juveniles. Adults who cook meth around kids. Child sex predators. And you have Democrats in Olympia who are spending valuable time this legislative session trying to reduce their punishments. Is that the party I would ask for any Democrats watching? Is that what you want the Democratic Party to be doing? Is that, are those your values? Are those progressive values? They have to be at this point, right? Because this stuff is all too common. We've covered these stories again and again and again. Going back to the Tara Simmons bill that would have reduced punishments for drive-by shooters who kill someone. At a time when we're having more drive-by shootings than we have in two decades. And when the homicide rate has doubled over 12 years. And when the instances of shots fired are through the roof. And when they're pushing all of these, as you know, all of these bills to crack down on legal gun owners, to make it more difficult, more costly to buy a gun and own a gun, to make it more difficult and more costly to sell guns. So putting all these restrictions, all these laws in place to regulate the behavior of people who've never committed a crime with a gun in their life, while simultaneously pushing a bill to reduce sentencing enhancements for people who do pick up a gun and commit a violent crime and get convicted of it. Help me make sense of that. I mean, we talk about common sense on the show all the time. This is the opposite of that. This is insanity. And I mean, if you want to be, I can't imagine. I know so many Democrats. I have so many friends and family in this state who say that they're Democrats. Oh, and I could never be a Republican. Oh, scary. Republicans, Donald Trump and stuff. Okay. So you're a member of a party that lets a record number of people die in filth and squalor on our streets. You're a member of a party that has presided over the worst drug epidemic of our lifetimes. You're a member of a party that has been in control for 40 years when we've seen the homicide rate double and violent crime through the roof. You're a member of the party that has had complete control during a time when prices have gone through the roof and affordability is out of reach for many families in terms of home ownership. and you're proudly a member of a party that wants to let judges at a whim reduce prison sentences for violent offenders, you're part of a party that wants to pass bills reducing punishments for gun crimes, violent gang members, parents who cook meth around kids, and sex predators who try to solicit and groom children online and try to meet them for sex. So that's what I really have a hard time with. And I'm not a Republican. I mean, I certainly align more with today's Republican Party than today's Democratic Party. Not even close. It's not even close. But I just have such a hard time putting myself in the mindset of someone who could hear everything that I just said, who could see all of those public safety, real pro-crime bills being introduced in Olympia, and who could proudly say, I'm a Democrat. And proudly, anything I throw at them, it's like, yeah, but Donald Trump. Yeah, but Donald Trump. Without anything, yeah, but Donald Trump. Orange man, bad. While people are dying on our streets, homeless on our streets, people can't afford a place to live, crime is through the roof, all of these things. Yeah, but Donald Trump. It's truly insane. So anyway, I mean, I call me a conspiracy theorist, but I really seriously question the motivation of Democratic lawmakers who would spend time introducing a bill to reduce punishments for people who solicit sex with minors online. That is insane stuff. You're not fit to serve in Olympia. It's wild. Speaking of other misguided priorities happening right now, Substitute Senate Bill 5123 has advanced out of a key committee. And it would, again, you lean into all these. And I think part of it is they have to wage ideological battles, right? Because they can't wage battles on substantive issues because they lose every time. Because how are they going to like wage battles on homelessness or crime or substance abuse or affordability or any of these things? Because their policies are the ones that have led us to this dark, dark place on all of those issues. So the only thing they have left to keep some people on their side is to wage ideological battles. We talk about this all the time. They want you thinking with your heart, not thinking with your head. Or most of us can do both. No, they want you focused on fear, anxiety. They want to gaslight you into being scared of some of the things that they say Republicans are going to do, whatever. So that's, I think, in a nutshell, Senate Bill 5123, which makes transgender people and illegal immigrants a protected classes of people. So essentially, you know, you can't what? I mean, what are you going to characterize as targeting that group of people? If I call a transgender kid a boy when they say they're a girl, am I targeting that protected class of people? Similar to the bill that they're pushing through to make homelessness a protected class. So if a city goes through and says, you can't camp here, well, I'm a protected class of people, and the state law that they're pushing actually would make it easier then for that homeless person to sue the city for targeting them as a protected class of people. It's just truly insane. This is Twyna Nobles, who is the backer of the bill, and she was sort of being questioned about, okay, isn't this, you know, shouldn't we protect, for instance, in schools, all students the same? You know, why do we have to single out students whose family brought them here illegally? Why do we have to single out transgender students for some sort of special protection in our schools? Here's what she says.
So there is a claim that this bill is unconstitutional because it protects certain students and not others. But Senate Bill 5123 does not give special rights to special groups. It simply extends protections to groups who are vulnerable to discrimination and provides clarification on definitions that are no longer accurate. This also does not exclude students who are not marginalized. For example, no matter a student's gender expression or gender identity, they will be protected. This includes students who are cisgender or heterosexual. There's also a claim this bill imposes ideological beliefs about gender and identity onto students. Senate Bill 5123 is not about ideology. Instead, it's about ensuring students are protected from discrimination. Schools are responsible for creating environments where students can feel safe and learn. Protecting students from discrimination does not impose any particular belief system onto anyone. And Chair, there is a claim that schools should prioritize improving core academic subjects and not affirming identities. A safe and inclusive environment is essential to academic success. 25.3% of transgender students skip school because they felt unsafe compared with 8.5 of cisgender male students. Claims that this bill's definitions are inconsistent with other parts of the law, simply not true. The bill's purpose is to clarify and update definitions to reflect current understandings of identity. K-12 institutions play a unique role in the development of students, and the purpose of Senate Bill 5123 is to ensure clarity in educational settings where students can rely on their schools to provide protections that can improve their ability to learn and to thrive.
Wow, good God. A lot to talk about there. First of all, her math is mathing. So she says something like 25% of trans students or whatever it is skip class because they're scared of, you know, whatever. And then she says 8% of cisgender male students. That's still way more cisgender male students because the trans student population is tiny, tiny. So when you say 25%, what is that? One kid? What is it? How many kids is that? And so again, it's an idea and an example of them pushing these bills that cater to really, really, really narrow sections of the state population at a time when there's things happening across the state that affect millions of people that they don't seem bothered by whatsoever. In the bill, so it does more than just the gender identity and the immigration status. So SB 5123, it adds four different types of protected sort of identities within the K-12 system. So ethnicity, immigration status, neurodivergence, homelessness. So if you're neurodivergent, but here's the thing I would also say. These are bills that are solutions in search of a problem. No one can tell me that in Washington State public schools, kids are being discriminated against because they're gay or transgender. No one can tell me that in Washington State public schools, one of the most progressive places on earth, that kids are being discriminated against because they're Black. No one can tell me that in Washington State public schools, kids are being discriminated against because they're illegal immigrants, when of course our system doesn't allow for you to even know if the student in your class is here illegally or not. So when she pushes a bill like that, it tells me that Twani Nobles, Senator Nobles, believes that our school system are these horrible places where students are being discriminated against because of their sexual orientation or whatever it is, when we know the exact opposite is true. We did a documentary on it, Operation Indoctrination. You can watch a whole segment where students who were straight, the cisgender, were essentially bullied and othered and left out because they weren't gay. They felt immense pressure to identify as LGBTQ plus IA2 questioning something so that their teacher would accept them and be kind to them. So in a state like ours, in a public school system like ours, where far-left ideology rules the day, this is redundant. This is redundant to make these kids put these kids up on a special pedestal because they're already on a special pedestal. We do story after story after story about it all the time. How about you just say in schools, no bullying? Right? I thought that was a thing. Doesn't that cover all of this? Hey, no bullying. No discrimination. That covers all of this. You don't need a law that puts these special flower groups up on a little snowflake groups up on a pedestal. They are not getting worse treatment, I promise you, than the cisgender white students. I promise you that. And so again, it's virtue signaling. That's all it is. Half of these bills in Olympia are virtue signaling because they have to focus on the ideological battles to make themselves feel good, like they're doing something just and pushing back against the right wing or Donald Trump or whatever it is. And they want to ignore simultaneously the difficult fights that the state has to engage in if it wants to fix some of our most pressing crises, because they cause those crises. They don't have a solution to get us out of those crises because they got us there in the first place. They actually don't want to fix them because it's all about money. So, of course, they're going to focus on ideological battles. It's absolutely ridiculous. All right, we were going to talk about this yesterday. We kind of ran out of time. But did you see during the Super Bowl, I want to say it was 3 or 4 different ads that popped up about Washington's bad budget situation. Here is one of them.
We're cooked. The state is billions of dollars short.
Bro, we literally have $10 billion more coming in.
And we need more! Excuse me, it seems like you're fighting about the Washington state budget shortfall. I can explain. See, since we were born, state tax revenue has doubled. But the state spent more than double, so they do have $10 billion more, and they're $10 billion short. Pretty simple, right? To learn more about the state budget and how it impacts you or your parents, visit budgetbreakdown.org and keep watching!
Yeah, so first to clear up one common misconception that I've seen all over social media, people thought that was a state-funded ad, like a taxpayer-funded ad. And I can understand where the confusion comes from, because the group that paid for and placed those ads during the Super Bowl is called Enterprise Washington, which is a private, nonpartisan entity. I think the confusion was there is a government entity in our state called the Washington State Department of Enterprise Services. So people were like, why would Enterprise Services, with taxpayer funds, fund a Super Bowl ad that calls the state out and Democrats for their bad spending habits? And they wouldn't, of course, because that would make Democrats look bad. And the state would never make Democrats look bad, because the state is Democrats. So it was from a group called Enterprise Washington, and they basically push like good business policy, good sound, like fiscal policy, etc. I want to know how much they paid for those ads. But one of the things, and you saw this, Nicole, one of the things I liked about them is they, I like the concept of having a kid who looked like 7 years old explain the budget crisis to adults watching like they're also 7 years old.
Right.
Because you hear the Democrats always like, oh, all these different like, oh, it's because of this, it's because of this. No, you spent too much money.
Right.
And so you have this little girl. She's like, let me just explain to you.
Even a child can understand this. Why can't you, Democrats?
Right. We had revenue growth and all this, and then we spent more. And she explains it in less than 30 seconds in a way every single person can understand. And I think it was three or four. I didn't watch the entire Super Bowl, so I might have missed one. So at least three of those ads that I saw in all various versions of that. But again, I think it's effective when a kid knows what it means to spend more money than you have.
And it definitely stood out, because there wasn't a lot of cartoonish commercials to that degree. So it definitely stood out. I was like, what? They're talking to Washington right now?
Yeah.
So, and there wasn't a lot of local emphasis like that. So
So it not funded out by the state, but I liked it. So calling them out for their absolute gaslighting on what put us in a budget crunch.
And with the whole Doge thing and like cutting back on spending, I mean, it kind of hits all of those birds with one stone.
Yeah, 100%. So we thought we'd clear that up. Enterprise Washington, not the Washington State Department of Enterprise Services. Mm. Can you imagine how mad Bob Ferguson would be if one of his state agencies put out a Super Bowl ad talking about how the state and Democrats have screwed everyone over and the budget sucks?
Right. Content-wise, obviously, but I don't think you'd have a problem with it with other things.
What do you mean?
They would waste money on something stupid like that.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I'm surprised he didn't order state agencies to pay for an ad about how wonderful and moderate he is.
Right, exactly.
He totally should have. All right, coming up next, it has happened. Our friend Jaskaran Singh, after 2.5 long years, has got his Bellevue home back from notorious squatter Sang Kim. We'll talk about it next. First, I know, and we're going to talk about Jaskaran Singh is now going to turn around and sell that home, because why would you continue to have a rental property when you have been abused by the system so much? So if you're someone like Jaskaran Singh, and you want to get out of your rental property, reach out to our friend Wes Jones of sellwithwes.com. Sellwithwes.com. Wes has helped, unfortunately, a lot of individuals who had a home that was in the rental market and they just realized, like, I can't do it in this environment, turn around and sell it. And look, it's really hard to blame them for making that decision. I wouldn't have a rental property right now. So if you're maybe selling a property that was a rental property or just your primary home, look, it's a stressful situation. We hear over and over from undivided viewers and listeners that Wes is so good at communication, keeps you in the loop, helps ease concerns you have and stresses that you might have. We heard that from listener Sue, who one of her concerns was she was kind of hesitant to list her home in the winter months.
It's time for me to go home, back to Wenatchee. That's where my mom is, and she's getting up there in age. So I need to help her and start thinking about my own retirement. So
did you feel like, I mean, get the sense that Wes like had a plan, knew what he was talking about? I mean, how comfortable did he make you during the process?
Oh, he made me feel very comfortable. He answered all my questions and he responded to them by email or text, whatever I needed. Just kind of an extra helping hand here and there whenever I needed it. He was always there to support me, and his team is just wonderful.
Yeah, so if you're thinking about selling your home, reach out to our friend Wes Jones. Start by going to sellwithwes.com. You can use their free home value calculator to see how much your home is worth, and then Wes can give you a free market analysis just so you know how well your home is positioned based on what else is happening in the area and your neighborhood. Sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com, a better way to sell your home. Oh my goodness, 2.5 years we have followed Jaskaran Singh, an immigrant to this country, on this long journey trying to get what I would call a squatter out of his house. Someone he rented the house to, a man named Sang Kim and his family, who a couple months go by, no rent. 6 months go by, no rent. Year goes by, no rent. 2 years go by, no rent. To the tune of more than $100,000. And every single law on the books was working against Jaskaran Singh and working in favor of the squatter, Sang Kim, who had no shame in this whole ordeal. There would be protests outside the house. Jaskaran and his friends would come and protest and try to shame him into leaving the house. And he just wouldn't do it because he knew that he could abuse the system to be able to live in a nice house in Bellevue, rent-free, for more than 2 years. But the good news is, Sang Kim has finally been forced to vacate the home, and none other than our friend Jonathan Cho was there as he did it.
Mr. Kim, how you doing? Are you finally leaving?
Get away.
I'm being told that you have until today to leave. Where are you going to go next, sir?
That's none of your business.
Not like
Cho. Are you going to pay back any of the rent, sir?
You gotta love Jonathan Cho, and he just stalked. He was out there for a long time because some of his video was during the daylight and some of it was at night, and he was just trying to wait for Sang Kim to leave. Sang Kim does not like Jonathan Cho. Didn't he try to issue like a court order against Jonathan Cho, like some sort of
harassment
anti-harassment
thing?
Order? It wasn't successful at all. But
I feel like a few people have done that. You know, I'm not sure if Kim was one.
Boundaries maybe isn't Jonathan Cho's main concern, but in this instance, Sang Kim totally deserved it. So look, we can laugh about it, but what a horrible ordeal. 2.5 years trying. I mean, it frustrated Jaskaran Singh to the point that he turned into a Republican and ran for elected office. Like he was trying to do everything he could, reach out to elected leaders. And it was all about state laws that make it very, very difficult to be able to get someone who's not paying rent, even for extended periods of time, out of your home. So one of the people who is trying his best to help Jaskaran Singh navigate the situation is Bellevue City Council member Jared Neuenhaus. He joins us on Undivided to discuss this and what's next. Councilman, welcome back to Undivided.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, seems like Jaskaran Singh's long saga is over, at least for now. For you, I know you were someone who supported him through this. I mean, for the city of Bellevue, were you guys' hands just sort of tied in being able to help him with this situation?
Fortunately, yes, because a lot of this really, sits at the state and at King County. But boy, what an ordeal he's had to put up with. I mean, 2.5 years, you know, 4 separate unlawful detainer cases. And then the tenant tried to, again, get it extended. And thank goodness, in December, he was denied. But finally, you know, this past Sunday, even though he was supposed to be out on Saturday, but got out on Sunday, Jaskaran can finally start to, take action on this property. And unfortunately, the action he's going to take is that he's going to end up selling property. So during, you know, a housing crisis that we all love to talk about and all say it's such a crisis, here again, we're losing another rental in not only the city of Bellevue, but in King County, that a family won't have the opportunity to rent.
Oh, I had not heard that. So he's told you that he is going to sell?
Yeah, well, and that's exactly what mom-and-pop property owners are doing all over King County. I mean, Seattle just completed an audit, and they had over 7,000 single-family homes that were sold to either developers or another property owner because they don't want to risk it. And after hearing stories like Jaskaran, I mean, would you want to risk it? I mean, he's $100,000 in the hole right now in back rent, attorney's fees, court fees. And wow, the tenant apparently did a number on the house when he left as well. So he's got, you know, a lot of repairs that need to be done and we'll have to get it professionally cleaned, et cetera.
Man, I mean, I just feel like even despite these stories, high profile ones like this, I mean, there are a lot of stories like this happening that maybe aren't that to that extent, you know, 2.5 years, tens of thousands of dollars in taxpayer funds just given to this deadbeat tenant. Do you feel like anything is going in the right direction on this issue?
I wish I could be more optimistic, but I'm not really hearing much right now in terms of, and that goes back to, you know, my comment earlier about how ironic it is that this, no one seems to have any urgency to fix this because we are in this housing crisis and, every property that we lose is another property that a family can't rent. And then, of course, that shrinks the market. And what happens? Prices go up. So if we truly want to get this rectified, we need to address this. I mean, first of all, I mean, the Housing Justin Project, right, which is a taxpayer-funded special defense firm for tenants, they got $4.6 million from the state. They got another $500,000 from King County. But I am not hearing anything from them in terms of wanting to get this addressed. And again, yeah, sure, this might be a more extreme example, but it's by no means whatsoever an isolated case. This is happening time and time again. So in terms of fixing it, I think we need to do look at the court system functions properly, and that we need timeliness here and due process, right? So really adherence to the existing residential landlord tenant law that right now doesn't seem to be happening whatsoever. And then I think we need to do a review of the King County Superior Court files as well that shows regular and automatic continuances of the legal proceedings at the behest of the Housing Justice Project. This is an example here of Jaskaran. They're just getting these continuances continuously, and that's putting property owners in a really bad position. So that needs to happen. So I think we need to do a serious audit as well,
yeah,
in terms of these non-paying tenants, and more importantly, the disruptive and dangerous tenants, because that's the other part of this. You know, sometimes property owners get people in their properties that are a danger to other neighbors or other tenants, and they can't move them out either. And then lastly, we just need a better balanced approach, Brandy. Too often, still, we're looking at the property owners or the housing provider as the evil, greedy. Don't get me wrong, we need to have protections for tenants as well. But right now, it's just out of whack. It's out of balance.
Yeah, totally lopsided. How is this not waste, fraud, and abuse from the Housing Justice Project? I mean, they cut at least one $50,000 check to cover the rent that Sang Kim wasn't paying. That cannot in any universe be the intention of those taxpayer funds. So how are they not being investigated for waste, fraud, and abuse?
Well, that's above my pay grade. I think you'd have to ask somebody at King County or the state in terms of why this is not looked at a little bit more closely. I know Councilmember Dunn was looking into this a little bit, and I know that this is getting more attention at the county and state level, but unfortunately doesn't have the urgency that I would like to see, because I think there's a lot of other property owners out there that are suffering from this as well.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, he's selling his unit, and this happens. You know, I think there's some who want to act like that never happens. Like these landlords will just sit and take it, and every burdensome regulation and cost and inability to be able to maintain their own property, and they'll just take it and take it and take it. They're not going to. That's not a good business decision. We can't expect them to. But what happens what happens if rent control passes this session?
Oh, things will get worse. If anyone is sitting on the fence thinking about selling their property now, I think even more so. I mean, this is what's been happening over the last 6 to 8 years. There's more and more regulations that the mom and pop property owners just, you know, that they can't absorb those regulations or the costs associated with it. So what we're going to get is only the big multinational corporations that can absorb those costs and can deal with those regulations. They're going to be the only ones standing to be able to provide multifamily housing.
Yeah, let's end with this, council member. Sang Kim, what stops him from leaving this house and going to victimize another one of your constituents in the city of Bellevue?
Well, I certainly hope that anyone who's been paying attention is familiar with this individual, and hopefully will not rent their property. I hope they join the appropriate organization to kind of keep tabs on those that are doing this continuously. So hopefully they will check to make sure. But there's no guarantee, Brandy. And this absolutely could happen again. I really hope it doesn't. But it could happen.
Man, I mean, it's happened before, so crazier things have happened. Not everyone's as plugged into what's going on. So Bellevue City Councilman Jared Neuenhaus, we appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
Just nuts stuff. I mean, again, Sang Kim, he's done this kind of stuff before. If you're able to get away with it for 2.5 years, I mean, more power to him abusing the system like that. Think of how much money he saved on rent. He and his whole family got to live in a nice house in Bellevue for 2.5 years and hardly had to come a dime out of pocket. And they got bailed out by taxpayers. It's truly insane stuff. One thing that Jared Neuenhaus alluded to there at the end, and it's a plug for our sponsors, the Rental Housing Association of Washington, Jaskaran Singh has said that he wishes he had been a member of RHA because they have a way that they can look through their database and see if the person that you're about to rent to has a history of doing stuff like this. So it's sort of that extra protection because you have other landlords who they might report someone, you know, back to RHA like, hey, I had this hellish tenant and they didn't pay rent or whatever it is, and then that stops another RHA member from going out and renting a unit to that same person. So a little plug for RHA, if you want to become a member of the Rental Housing Association of Washington, a couple things. They're going to be able to advocate for you and help you through these crazy situations and these bullshit laws, rhawa.org. And then they're, Nicole, I'm sorry, bull crap laws. Can I not swear at an ad read? Give me a break over here. And they're down in Olympia advocating on your behalf during the legislative session. You know, rent control is a big deal right now. So rhawa.org, rhawa.org, protecting you from bullshit.
Now you're just doing it for fun.
Listen, it's who I am, okay? If you want to change who I am, if my sweet husband who doesn't want me to swear on the show wants to change who I am,
mm-hmm.
I guess I just have to change who I am. I'm just kidding. No, it's fine. I think he's over it. I leave the real bad swear words out.
Okay.
Yes. I don't care anymore. I don't care anymore. what am I talking about? Oh, yeah. Speaking of not caring anymore, have you given up entirely on trying to lose weight? I've probably done throughout my life like 50 of the fad diet things. Like I've done keto, I've done paleo, I've done fasting, I've done drink a gallon of water a day. I did that old one where it was like put some spice and some lemon juice in water. Cayenne pepper and lemon juice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, none of them helped me lose weight. The only thing that's ever helped me lose weight and keep it off is Eastside Weight Loss Clinic. EastsideWeightLossClinic.com. I lost 40 pounds and I lost 30 of that in 2 months. And that's really what keeps you motivated. It's not an easy program. You have to be able to commit to their program for 60 days. If you don't think you can do that, it's not the program for you. But if you think that if they give you something to do every day for 60 days and you can stick to it, then you can lose up to 20% of your body fat in those first 60 days like I did. And so it really is a no-brainer. And then they give you some simple tricks and healthy lifestyle changes to keep the weight off for life. So if you have been through all of the fad diets, as I have, and found failure in every single one of them, give Eastside Weight Loss Clinic a call. Start by calling Dr. Ryan Coogan and his team for a free 15-minute consultation at EastsideWeightLossClinic.com, EastsideWeightLossClinic.com. I could name so many others. Low-carb, no fat, Weight Watchers.
There was one where we had to drink this juice all day. You had to drink
juice cleanse.
Every once in a while gag just thinking about that juice.
Oh, good times, you know, good times. I've put my roller coaster dieting behind me. I think so. I feel equipped. All right. We cut out Unbelievable from the show yesterday because we were just going late and we had stuff to do. And I'm so sorry about it. We have an update on the Linwood City Councilman Josh Binda saga. Let's get to it in our segment. Unbelievable. All right, so troubled, beleaguered Linwood City Councilmember Josh Binda, he's been caught red-handed on so many things, and now it turns out he hasn't even been living in the city of Linwood, which you're supposed to live in the city of Linwood if you're a Linwood City Councilmember. He's been living in the city of Everett ever since he was evicted from his Linwood apartment in late 2023, so that's problematic, but he was also registered as a voter for his old apartment in the city of Linwood and voted in this past election from that address, which clearly you're not able to do. So we have multiple problems here, some of them that could be potentially criminal. So the Linwood Times broke this story. They came on our show a couple weeks ago on Sundays with subscribers and walked us through all the evidence. And Josh Binda was denying it up and down. He even filed an order of protection against Mario Lotmore, the owner of the Linwood Times, basically saying he's being harassed and these things aren't true. Well, they are true. And it's become undeniable, I think, even for Josh Binda. So one of the things that we talked about at the time was there was a council member who had been driving Josh Binda home. And this is one of the reasons why the Linwood Times first became suspicious that something was up, that Binda might not live in Linwood. Because this council member, Derica Escamilla, had been offering to drive Josh Binda home, and Mario Lotmore thought, that's weird, I thought he just lives over here, like, where is she driving him to? That doesn't make any sense. Well, it turns out this council member, fellow council member, had been driving him to Everett. So she knew very well that he'd been living in Everett, which is so odd because Josh Binda told the mayor and the city council, that's not true, I'm not living in Everett, that's a lie. So she just sat there and what, let him lie to everyone? It's wild. So now that he's been caught in all of this, there's a couple issues. Can he still continue to serve as a Linwood City Council member? I would have to believe that the answer is no, but there might have to be some action taken to remove him. And then two, could he face some sort of PDC violations or criminal penalties for voting in a district that he's not a resident of? So there's all this stuff going on. Well, of course, just like they have every other time, ignored, downplayed his conduct because he started as a BLM activist. And so these woke, white, progressive council members can't say anything about all the stuff he's doing that's clearly unlawful. But council member Escamilla says that she really thinks that the council should change the rules so that what Councilman Binda did isn't actually against the rules.
But we also have to understand hardships and, you know what, they're 4-year terms, right? Once you get elected. And I think if people go through something, there should be not such a word like the continuous. You know how hard it is to like rent here, or once you have an eviction notice and your background or getting back on your feet. I've tried to look at just renting to try to get into another place for a house. And I couldn't even honestly qualify myself because it's 4 times your this and that, and sometimes you have to get things in place, and sometimes it's temporary, like if you're building a house or you're under construction, and or maybe you're going to build your new house behind your old house. I've seen things do different things. My neighbors down the street did that, and they had to live somewhere temporarily. I read the in the MRSC, they kind of take into account hardships, and as long as you never abandon your duty and you're still in the community, I think a hardship should be okay, but we should definitely like no more than 1 year or something like that out of a 4-year, you know, term. To, I just think the continuous again is rigid and that we wouldn't take into account life. But if somebody gets a divorce or there's a no contact order and you have to live outside of the jurisdiction, or you're the only person to live in is outside of the jurisdiction, a lot of things can happen. And I don't think, I think if we are super duper rigid, we're not being like fair to our fellow council member for going through whatever it is that they're going through. And at the end of the day, it's none of our business privately to that detail what's going on in there, as long as they're serving the community and the intent is always to be here and come back. And that's my view on that. Okay.
So it's none of their business if a council member isn't even living in the city that he was elected to serve. Interesting. How convenient is that, right? So just to walk you through, denial. Denial was the first stage. Presented with all this evidence, he was living in Everett. Oh, no, that's not true. They're lying. They're harassing. They're targeting. Even the mayor said, no, he presented us with his with proof. He's still living in Linwood. So all of this, well, hoodwinked. Wasn't living in Linwood. They had to come back and acknowledge, okay, well, maybe he's not living in Linwood. We're gonna do more research in this. And then, oh, well, he's not living in Linwood, but that's okay. And then he's not living in Linwood, but that's okay. And actually, we should make sure that that's not against the rules. So, you know, we talked with Mario Lotmore of the Linwood Times about this, how Josh Binda is now in this place where he could face criminal prosecution. That's not out of the realm of possibility. And I do think that they should make an example out of him, because you have all these concerns about election integrity and fraud and all of these things. If you have an elected leader who's doing it brazenly and they aren't prosecuted for it, then why should we believe they're prosecuting anyone for it? So I do believe he should be prosecuted for knowingly falsifying his voter registration and voting in an area where he didn't live. I also think he should be removed from the Linwood City Council. But we've gotten to this place where now it's a really serious situation for Josh Binda, only because so many other things that he's done, he was just totally let off and made excuses for, and oh, it's okay, he's young, he's just a young Black man trying to find his way, he was a BLM activist, so they made excuses for all of these things. And it's just insane. And so had they nipped it in the bud and said, hey, Josh Benda, no, you can't post shirtless pictures while you're to advertise speeches you give to kids. Like, hey, Josh Benda, no, you're going to have to pay these PDC fines. And your excuse that you don't know how to write a check isn't going to cut it. Look it up on the internet. Google it. And have much less patience for the errors that he was making early on. Like some of those, like the shirtless pic thing, he's a kid. It's like, okay, that's just weird, but I don't think it's worth kicking him out of office for, obviously. But then every time something has come up about him, it's gotten worse and worse and worse. More serious, more serious, more serious. And now when you're looking at something this serious where he's not even eligible to be a Linwood City Council member, he's pushing laws and policies that impact people in a city that he doesn't even live in. They're still making excuses for him. They want to change the rules to fit his conduct. It's truly unbelievable. I don't know where we're at on our bet for when he's going to... I think you said by Valentine's Day. Yeah, I said by the 18th, Friday, right?
You said by the 18th.
18th. Okay, I think there's still time. I think he should resign. I mean, I don't know. But there's no pressure from the mainstream news. I
feel like he's going to go kicking and screaming. Can
you look here whenever you have time mm-hmm. about if the Everett Herald has picked this up? Because I don't... That's the thing is, like, the Linwood Times is doing the Lord's work on this. They did so much investigative research as an independent outlet. Go support the Linwood Times. And you have all these mainstream outlets that just ignore it. It's wild. If this were any other elected official, would they just ignore it? If Bob Ferguson moved to Oregon, do you think that they'd be like, that's fine. No big deal. It's just, it's too much. It's become too much. You see anything with the Everett Herald on the radio? Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. So it's just wild. All right, we'll get to national news coming up next, but a little intersection with Washington State. Tom Homan saying that he wants to double ICE enforcement in sanctuary cities. Well, we're in a sanctuary city, so there is a little standoff yet to come, I think. So we'll get to that national news. First, I got a nice email from Eric. Well, a nice email, but also I'm going to shame Eric a little bit. About the First Mark Challenge, I always encourage you guys to take the First Mark Challenge because you could save money. It doesn't cost you anything. So it's sort of a no-brainer. We all need insurance, but are you getting the right insurance at the right price? First Mark Insurance can help you figure that out. You take the First Mark Challenge, you talk to them on the phone for a little bit. They go out, shop the market, they come back with their suggestions. Eric says, Brandy, love your show. Thank you. I'm a daily freeloading listener via Spotify. Eric, do I even want to read anything that comes after that? Freeloader. It's just $5 a month, Eric. And now you can afford it because Eric says that he took the First Mark Challenge. He'd been managing his own auto and homeowner policy for decades. He said, I was of the school of thought that why do I need a middleman when I can work directly with the insurance companies myself? The people at First Mark quickly showed me the error of my ways by saving me over 30% on my auto policy and a whopping 70% on my homeowner's policy. I'm not exaggerating. I now tell anyone I know who is dealing with changes to their insurance to give First Mark a call. I did, and I am truly richer for it. Okay, Eric. Well, then you got to stop freeloading. What did I say? If I save you money by referring you to First Mark Insurance, then you got to support the show for $5 a month by going to undividedpod.com and clicking on support the show. You see, Nicole, how I seamlessly make an ad about First Mark into an ad for myself.
Beautiful.
Thank you. Really. FirstMarkInsurance.com. FirstMarkInsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you and they offer these services for free. So there really is not a downside. You just have to spare an hour of your time. And I think you could do that if it means saving 70% on your homeowner's insurance. Good gravy. Daryl's in the room. Daryl, you'd do it if it could save you 70%. Yeah, he says, yeah, thumbs up. Daryl's in the house today with his cute dog. Penny's here, and she's so sweet. She's just laying over there being such a little angel. Maybe I'll try to hold her for comments. I don't know. She doesn't like me to hold her. Anyway, national news. So I'm sure you guys have heard this. So there have been these ICE raids planned for all across the country, and some of them are being leaked to the media, which is horrifying because, I mean, would the media leak plans for any other type of law enforcement operation? Hey, they're going to be arresting a terrorist, you know, in downtown LA who's got plans to bomb a building. Like, you would never leak that. Oh, hey, we're doing a sting a la Chris Hansen to catch some child sex predators. Maybe in Washington they'd leak that, but traditionally you'd never leak that. There's a couple reasons for that. It helps the criminal evade justice but it also puts the lives of law enforcement agents at risk. That's a no-brainer. It's really hard for me to fathom a media entity, even if something was leaked to them, even if they had knowledge of something like that, putting it out publicly and possibly putting the operation and the lives of the agents at risk. But that's exactly what's happening. This from the Los Angeles Times. Leaked documents say large-scale immigration enforcement action coming soon to LA. The operation, which would be spearheaded by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, will focus on people who do not have legal status in the country or who have already have pending orders of removal, according to the document, which was circulated among some federal law enforcement officials this week. So the LA Times gets these leaked documents. What do? They print it with details on these ICE raids that are going to be happening. It's, to me, I mean, I know there's a free press. There's nothing criminally that you can do to the Los Angeles Times. But as someone who worked in mainstream news covering crime for a very long time, I cannot fathom ever being so careless as to do something like that. It's wild stuff. And Tom Homan is not impressed. I was watching Hannity last night. We have a couple clips. He is not impressed. So there's some speculation. There's been a couple leaks so far. And he says that there's evidence that maybe one of the leaks to the media, which they're investigating, originated with the FBI.
We think it's coming from inside. And we know the first leak of Aurora is under current investigation. We think we identified that person under investigation right now. The California leak, Secretary Noem, you know, she's correct. Some of the information we're receiving tends to lead toward the FBI. But I talked to the Deputy Attorney General all this weekend. They've opened up a criminal investigation. And they have promised that not only this person lose their job and lose their pension, they're going to go to jail.
Yeah, is it worth it? Lose your job, lose your pension, and go to jail. Because you are willing, whether you're in law enforcement or some other entity that has been clued in on these plans for raids, you are willing, by leaking that document for your ideological reasons, to put the lives of members of law enforcement at risk. Shame on you, especially when you're talking about violent cartel gang members. You don't think that they might be lying in wait with their guns to kill some ICE agents? It's unbelievable. So, meantime, Tom Homan has also promised that they are going to step up immigration enforcement in sanctuary jurisdictions.
Well, sanctuary cities, no, they're putting up every roadblock possible. No, rather than arresting the bad guy in a county jail, it takes one agent to arrest a bad guy when they gets arrested and put in a county jail. We got to send the whole team to the neighborhood. So it's going to be... It's very difficult in sanctuary cities, but we're going to keep coming. What are we doing about sanctuary cities? I'm going to double the manpower in those sanctuary cities. Sanctuary cities, if we can't get them in their homes, we'll get them in a place of employment. We're going to have large-scale worksite enforcement operation. So we're going to send more resources. We're not going to stop. We're going to keep coming. We're going to keep coming with more. We're going to increase the targeting in those cities. We're going to get full steam ahead on sanctuary cities. Sanctuary cities are becoming the priority. Why? Because of protection. They're protecting public safety threats and national security threats. So we're going to double manpower. We're going to double operations. We're going to double targeting. We're coming full bore, and they're not going to stop us. I'm taking this seriously. I don't sleep well at night because I'm afraid of the people that are walking the streets here every day because sanctuary cities are protecting them. Sanctuary cities are sanctuary for criminals, bottom line. So we're going to do everything we can to find them, regardless of what it takes.
Yeah. So he's pissed off, you can tell. And I will say, you know, I would love to see Democrats in our state push back against those ICE raids. We've already seen the people who ICE and Border Patrol are arresting here. Child rapists, domestic violence suspects, assault suspects, individuals who've fled from law enforcement, hit and run suspects, individuals who've committed crimes, been deported from the country, came back, committed crimes again. So are those the people who Democrats in the state, for ideological reasons, are going to stand up for and push back against these ICE raids? And by the way, I mean, ICE has the authority to be able to carry out these actions in sanctuary jurisdictions. There's nothing that they can do. Now, they can refuse to cooperate, and they will. Law enforcement agencies in our state, from the State Patrol to the Seattle Police Department, they will refuse to cooperate in any sort of way with ICE in carrying these raids out, which is unfortunate because I think they'd be able to do a lot more if they work together to get criminals off the streets. But again, for ideological reasons, they will not do that. All right. Ooh, so much winning. I love this. So you already found out my disdain for self-checkouts. One of the other
This one's mine.
This is your...
This is my self-checkout.
This is your self-checkout.
Yes.
Paper straws.
Hate them.
What is the
worthless
point?
Piece of crap?
Worthless. Get in there. It's like he's like, and then it closes together because it's all wet, and then it's like,
why bother?
It doesn't even work anymore. Mm-hmm. That doesn't even work anymore. Mm-mm. I was gonna say something I won't say. So back in. Should I say it?
Oh, no. I was going to compliment you on your self-control there.
No, I won't. So back in 2020, Trump, at the time, he was taking aim on paper straws already.
So they want to ban straws. I said, oh, really? What about the carton? What about the plate? What about the knives and the spoons that are plastic? Oh, they're okay. But the straws we got to ban. Has anybody ever tried? Seriously, the new straw, it's made out of paper, right? It disintegrates as you're drinking. If you have a nice tie like this tie, this would have no chance. By the time you get finished, the straw is totally disintegrated.
It's so true. And I don't get it because they have come up with some alternatives to plastic straws Starbucks. That are fine. Yeah,
They're compostable.
Mm-hmm. They just feel like the plastic ones.
Right.
So I don't understand the desire or whoever, let's make... Hey, I got an idea. Let's make a straw out of cardboard. Why would you do that? That's just the dumbest thing. And anyway, Donald Trump thinks it's dumb, and he's saying that no more of the ban on plastic straws. I don't know to what extent this is going to be successful. He said, Crooked Joe's mandate, this is on Truth Social, Crooked Joe's mandate, no plastic straws, only paper, is dead. Enjoy your next drink without a straw that disgustingly dissolves in your mouth. Yeah, I mean, again, it does disgustingly dissolve in your mouth. Now, I don't think the mandate was no plastic straws, only paper, because, again, there were other straws that weren't plastic and that were acceptable, like the ones we talked about at Starbucks and stuff.
Biodegradable or whatever.
But I actually think there should be a ban on paper straws.
I like it.
I'm opposed to government overreach. I'm okay with banning paper straws.
I don't even want
anyone to have the option to use a paper straw.
No.
It makes the world a more depressed place.
I agree.
I'm not here for it. So Donald Trump did sign this via executive order yesterday. If you watch closely, there's a guy behind him who thinks this is the funniest thing that's ever happened.
Next, this is an executive order relating to the use of paper straws. As you've consistently identified, nobody really likes
paper
straws.
Like our friend Todd, actually.
Number one trending. Can you believe it? A paper straw was number one trending for 3 days or something.
The environmental impact of plastic straws versus paper straws is entirely unclear. This has cost both the government and private industry an absolute ton of money and left consumers all over the country wildly dissatisfied with their straws. So really is something that affects
so
ordinary Americans in their everyday lives.
We're going back to plastic straws. These things don't work. I've had them many times, and on occasion they break, they explode.
Why would they zoom in?
If something's hot, they don't last very long, like a matter of minutes, sometimes a matter of seconds. It's a ridiculous situation. So we're going back to plastic straws. I think it's okay. And I don't think that plastic's going to affect a shark very much as they're munching their way through the ocean.
Okay. Oh my God. It's good. Are you not entertained? The guy, he does look like our friend Todd. Behind him could not compose himself.
Right.
It's not about the sharks, though. It's about the turtles. Just right up their nose, you know? Just
does poof. It really? So this is something Dory and I studied very in-depthly. So it comes back to a 9-year-old mm-hmm. who did a science project. And what he did was call a bunch of plastic companies, see how many straws they produce. And then he took some percentage that he had been told that plastic ends up in the ocean. And so he just came up with, you know, he said it's a very, not very mathematical. It's just kind of, you know, assuming the numbers. And he just came up with the number. Like, that's how much plastic they produce. This is the percentage of plastic that ends up in the ocean. And he said, that's the number of straws that end up in the ocean. And everybody just ran with it. It was a 9-year-old.
Yeah, and in NPR, you put a link in here to an NPR story. One child's outsized influence on the debate over plastic straws. Literally just a kid who's like, plastic straws, something. But it's just... You guys, it's too much. It's too
crazy.
Much. That is one of my favorite Trump cuts of all time because it just speaks to me. And that's like a 99% issue. No one, you show me one person who wants to drink their drink out of a paper straw.
No, that's why they've given up on them at most restaurants. Most restaurants don't even give you a straw. They're like, sorry, no straws here.
And then that pisses me off too.
That makes me angry.
When I've got a nice drink.
My mouth on your nasty cup that everybody puts their mouth on.
When I've got a nice drink I want to enjoy that with a straw. And when I say, can I get a straw? I always joke and say the kind that kills turtles. And then they say, we actually don't have any straws. Mm-hmm. I always say that though. I want the kind of straw that will kill a turtle. And then I've got to, hit the ice on my teeth.
I don't like it. No.
First world problems, but you know what? That's okay.
Hero.
Absolutely a hero. We'll get to our daily show poll and comments, and maybe Penny will join me for comments. I don't know.
She left the room.
She left the room. She was whining during that Trump cut because she wanted to be watching it. All right. Do you notice how the market responds after major events? Are you paying attention to those things? When something happens, are you thinking about your retirement portfolio? Oh my God, is the person managing my retirement portfolio making adjustments? Are they managing my risk? Well, get a second opinion. If you're not sure, if you have any doubt whatsoever, we get a second opinion for all sorts of things. I mean, I just was telling you about getting a second opinion on your insurance. Get a second opinion on major healthcare decisions. Why would you not get a second opinion when it comes to the strength of your retirement portfolio? This is one of the most important things in your life you will ever do, is set yourself up for the kind of retirement you dream of. So it's always smart to get a second opinion. Zach Abraham, the Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital, can help you with that with their free Know Your Risk Portfolio Review. You'll get a full reveal of how Bulwark is always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, and give your retirement as much upside as possible. You only get one retirement. Get a second opinion. You know what? Actually, you could get two retirements, because you don't save enough for your first retirement. Then you have to go back to work, and then you'll get a second retirement. Anyway, schedule your free portfolio review now at knowyourriskradio.com. Knowyourriskradio.com. Okay. Our daily subscriber poll question had to do with our top story of the day. Do you believe adults convicted of soliciting real children online should have the same length of sex offender registration and community supervision as offenders who solicited fictitious minors online? Nicole, should those things be treated differently? If you show up and it's Chris Hansen, should you get a lighter sentence than if you show up and it's an actual 13-year-old?
No. No, I mean, no, you're a predator. You are looking for prey.
Because the intention is the same.
The intention's the same.
And also, the thing that weirds me out about this, and I'm very curious to see what you guys say, because sometimes you surprise me in the polls. If you show up and it's a real child, right, and you rape that child, you're already facing a much stiffer punishment, because, you know, not only is it you're going to be charged with child rape. So if you show up and you solicit sex with a minor and you show up and it's not a minor, well, then you aren't able to rape that child because it's an adult detective or whatever it is. So there are already stiffer punishments if you carry out the act. So I don't understand why they'd be so concerned. It doesn't make any sense at all.
Because you're publicized?
Right. Because, their life is already hard. Because
they think shame is punishment enough.
Look, I did a 3-part series when I was at Fox 13 on the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force, where I spent a lot of time with the detectives, a lot of time with the prosecutor, who was just a wonderful woman. But these people go through hell. I mean, they sit and pose as children. And all of them are parents. And they can't stop doing it because, as horrible as it is for them to see what these sex predators say online, they just think of their own kids. And they know that every one of those people they engage in a conversation is a child that's saved from engaging in a conversation or from being sold or pimped out by a parent, God forbid. And so I know how difficult the work they do is. I know the depths of depravity that they encounter every single day when they do these net nanny stings. And so the fact that they're doing all that hard work and lawmakers in Olympia are like, well, it's not that bad, is it? Wasn't a real kid. It's insane. So 99% of our people who took the poll said,
who's the 1%?
You're lucky I can't see your poll votes. You're lucky I can't break it down to individual votes. If you didn't know that, your subscriber poll vote is private. So it just, you can't tell who voted how. 1% of people said no, they should not be treated the same. Do you believe adults convicted of soliciting real children online should have the same? Yeah. Christy, absolutely. Their intent is there. They more than likely have already offended or will in the future. Same damaged brain. Yep. Yeah, that's what he's saying. Brian, the intent is the same. HTA, their intent is the same. Sharon, it's the intention that counts. Like, how can so many of our subscribers understand that so plainly? And the people making laws in Olympia are like, isn't that the same? I just don't get it. It makes absolutely no sense.
It is wild.
See why I get the conspiracy minded in my brain. It's just, Let me see. And Randall says, intent, whether it's a real minor or a fake one, the predator is looking for the real minor. I don't know if the point of the question is that law enforcement posing as a minor results in lower sentencing, but either one should get a very stiff penalty. Repeat offenders, especially severe punishments, zero tolerance. It seemed to be that they were suggesting that there's some element of entrapment, that you have these adult detectives who go out on the internet looking for child sex predators. Okay. They didn't force that person to try to arrange a time to meet a child for sex. That person made that decision. And all of those net nanny stings, they have to, in order to build a case, make it very clear that they're a minor. They can't hide that or send a picture and the person's left guessing, is that an 18-year-old or is that a 16-year-old? No, they make it very clear. It's always very clear that the predator is looking for a child. And so I don't understand. It's just unambiguous to me. It's really gross stuff. Mm-hmm. 99%. 1%. I'm watching you. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe you had a good reason. All right. Some other comments on the show today. Penny, I want everybody to meet the dog. Pen. Is Daryl still out there?
I'm sure he
Daryl's
is.
Daryl's in the studio today. I'm just hoping. Pen. Oh, hold on. Come here. Up. Daryl, why won't she come up? Up.
Here, Penny.
She's so cute. Anyway, I'll read comments while Nicole tries to corral Penny. Suzanne, I'm a subscriber on Patreon and do not see the link to the legislative alerts in the comments. Will you please consider sending us an email? Personally, I don't mind getting emails and it's easy to forward to others. Thank you. Love the show. Okay, let me ponder that. I just get so many people are like, oh, I get too many emails. So maybe I forgot to put it in the link of the show yesterday. Let me ponder that, Suzanne. Deanna Sanderson, lawmakers in our state are insane. I'm planning on the rally on Saturday. Anyone else? So yeah, coming up this Saturday in Olympia, there's going to be a rally in the legislature, on the steps of the legislature for parental rights. All right. Matt Gilbert, $10 super chat. It's not rocket science. They are just evil. And why do I not read Matt Gilbert comments before I read them? And then what he does is he makes it a super chat.
I know.
So that I feel like I have to read it. Mm-hmm. He says, it's not rocket science. They're just evil and they want to diddle kids. Sean Bell, getting into power was crucial to these people. Then out comes the agenda, no matter how tone deaf. Old Sub Sailor, it's got to be more than virtue signaling, is always follow the money. Someone is making a profit off of this. Old Sub Baron of Gray Matter, $10 super chat. So if a 13-year-old girl has sex with a teacher and is with child, teacher arranges unaliving of the child. Parents never get told, ever. Really, Democrats? Yeah. Unfortunate. What are you guys talking about over here?
Daryl just took my... power bank, and now my computer is gonna die because I had just plugged it in.
You guys, what's going on here? I can't have you both in here at once.
Can you see, like, you, like, put your head in there, dude?
I can't have you both in here at once.
There you
go. What's going on? Oh my gosh. Robert Parker, $5 super chat. We had to embarrass the Everett Times into writing about lying Clyde Shavers. Yeah, the Everett Herald does not like to write about Democrats who do things wrong.
They really don't.
Not in the slightest.
Not interested.
Let's see. Matthew Cook, trust me, that's my old stomping grounds. You can find some cheap places to rent in Linwood. Yeah, they act as if, oh, well, some city council members might not be able to afford a place to live in Linwood. They should still be able to be Linwood city council members? That makes no sense.
Figure it out. And the reason he can't is because he has so many fines and he got kicked out of his apartment. Right. So then you typically have a hard time finding another one. So maybe follow the rules, pay your bills.
Yeah, because he has an eviction on his record, but he's making all this money. He reported all this income from his speaking events, right? Mm-hmm. And he's doing traveling to D.C. and all these things. And you're telling me you don't have enough money to pay your fines, your citations, or your rent? Give me a break. No, this is someone who always gets let off on things, and now he's seeing it all come crashing down. B. Larson, not sure where he lives, but as someone who lived at the crossroads of Linwood, Edmonds, Mukilteo, and Everett for 30 years, it's not always clear where you live. A lot of crossovers in that area. If you're a Linwood city council member, you know whether you're living in the city of Linwood.
Well, and also, he's living in Everett with his dad. He's very aware of where, where he's living.
Very clearly.
Everett.
Yeah. Kenneth, with a $50 super chat, I'm regretting moving back to Washington, but I'm going to stay and help make it better, like Brandy. That's great. Where'd you move to and then come back? I mean, if I made the step of leaving, I think it would take a lot to bring me back. I'm not leaving, however. I'm never going to leave. Let me see. Mo says, Nicole doesn't trust dishwashers, apparently.
I don't.
Manual human dishwashers or
well, no, she's saying because I said you know that
you want a straw.
Glass has been on many lips.
Yeah,
it's the thought. I know,
sometimes.
And silverware, same thing. But I don't know, glass. Like you have, I don't know, lipsticks and things like that that don't come off in dishwater washers. They just don't all the
well,
time.
Yeah, sometimes I put my cups in the dishwasher with my lipstick and it comes out, lipstick's still there.
Yeah.
Kim Taylor, plastic bags are worse for turtles as they mimic jellyfish in the ocean.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, look.
We dealt with those too. No plastic bags anymore.
Yeah, we don't want any plastic in the ocean. But there's a hell of a lot of plastic in the ocean and you're picking and choosing what kind of plastics are a threat. It's weird.
Maybe don't litter. Maybe don't litter and throw things away or recycle the way that you're supposed to.
Yeah. Janelle Villegas, I hate the sippy cups at Starbucks, and now McDonald's is trying to get us to use them. We aren't babies. Oh, yeah, the little... I don't want to drink my drink like that either.
You know where those first... I first saw those, though, was way before the straw debacle, and it was in Canada at the GM Place. They had a concert, and that's how they served their beers with the sippy cup, and that's genius, because then you don't spill your beer everywhere, like, because you can't drink beer with a straw, right? Yeah. So then they put the little sippy cup on it so that people aren't spilling beer all over the place.
I think
that's genius.
That makes sense, but not my first choice.
Not for my coffee.
Yeah, not my first choice. All right, good comments per the usual, and with that, thank you, Nicole and Daryl. God, I'm like babysitting over here today. Just Daryl's on the floor. The dog's over there. Hi, Penny. So cute. With that, let's get to our closing sanity check, shall we? All right. We talk about bad judges all the time on the show. Judges who aren't doing what they're supposed to do. Well, how about we end the show with a good judge? So this is a judge told a teen suspect he is a... There's that. A judge told a teen suspect he's a threat to the public and... Yes, denied bail. Here it is.
Police say they targeted elderly women in grocery store parking lots to steal their purses. In one case in Bellevue, a 72-year-old woman was shoved to the ground, breaking her back. Today, Judge Joe Campagna spoke sternly as he rejected any pretrial release.
The information in front of the court is that you flagrantly violated every single possible court order and that your criminal conduct is allegedly escalating sharply. I find a serious threat to the public safety. You will remain here in secure detention with no release at any time for any reason until every one of your cases is fully done, and that includes all the new filings.
That is exactly what we need. A big round of applause for King County Superior Court Judge Joe Campagna. Yes, we love it. Penny loves it too. That has been today's episode of Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. We appreciate every single one of you. Sincerely, we do. If you haven't signed up to support our show already, you can do that for just $5 a month at undividedpod.com. Undividedpod.com.